The following was recorded in front of a live studio audience at the Studio 21 Podcast Cafe. This is the United Podcast Network.
Are you tired of being misguided by self-serving financial service profit seekers? Are you looking for a better way to take control of your destiny and create a financially free path for future generations? Well, you're in the right place. Welcome to the Banking on Your Retirement Podcast. We cut through the noise of the often self-serving financial markets with simplified yet foundational financial principles for creating a more peaceful, joyful, and prosperous life. So be brave and be free. This is your home. Now, here's your Banking on Your Retirement host, Johnny Ward.
Welcome back, everyone. I'm thinking, geez, it's already 12:15. I got to get going because March Madness is starting. So, of course, I'm playing with my phone, getting the updates already. So I wanted to start this week by adding on to a little bit of last week's show where we talked about Steve Mnuchin and Jeff Otting taking over New York Community Bank. Okay. One of the things I'm going to talk about this week is something that to me is quite amazing, that people are already planning on more failed banks. We had failed banks last March with Silicon Valley, Signature Bank. And then, of course, you know, we just did last week's episode about New York Community Bank and how they had taken over some of the assets of Signature Bank, and now they're in trouble too. And we talked about private equity. So I'm going to tie some more of that together, but there's a firm called Portico's Capital, and they are going to have another name, another subsidiary, and they're a private equity firm, but they are going to have a company called Portico's Financial. They went to the Comptroller of the Currency, again, the accountant for the United States of America, or U.S. government, I should really call it, so... there's a reason, but I'm not going to get into that right now, why I make that distinction. But they have solicited, Portico's has solicited the comptroller for something called a shelf charter. And I'm going to also talk today and show that the chairman of the Federal Reserve is acknowledging and the comptroller is anticipating these failed banks in the future. So I just want to throw up a screenshot here that talks about Portico's Capital and how they're being referred to as a blank check company to buy, you know, assumptive, you know, failed banks. But obviously, if they're predicting that, Certainly, you can expect they're going to it's going to happen, right? And I want to hit some highlights here if we could. They call it a shelf charter, and I'm going to get into the definition of that. But again, they basically don't even have an operational company. It's a shell to fill the shell with failed banks at some point. And these are different than just private equity, because we say private equity, it's private, I mean it's not a public stock in that type of thing. There's private investors. But interestingly enough, they've actually made this a public company. And so it's sitting there on the exchanges and it's waiting for the opportunity to buy these failed banks and then just drop them right in there, and they don't have to go through, you know, an initial public offering and all that. And so it's kind of instant, right? So I can't see this image, but I don't know if there's anything we can do about that. But yeah, I can see that you might be able to see it. So the highlight in the aftermath of the Silicon Valley failure, the question of deposit insurance came up. And so the FDIC is starting to come up with these new basically targets of who's going to get what coverage, you know, individuals, businesses, and, you know, they may change the rules on that 250,000 that's protected, but that's definitely part of the equation at this point. So I want to talk a little bit about these private equity funds, right? And what is a blank check company? That is a special purpose acquisition company. And they refer to it, believe it or not, as the poor man's private equity funds. And the reason they're getting into this, you know, hey, poor man's, well, two things, right? Is one, they don't have enough funds because they haven't bought anything yet, right? So they're going to sell this and they're going to let you get in, so to speak, in on this private equity. But it's just another way. The way I see the world is this is just another way to take your money, to have you investing in the things they want you to invest in, right? Just like they go to these pension funds and they want to refer to, hey, we're going to go and invest in all these companies, but we need your money to invest in buying all these companies, right? And then we're going to, you know, fix them, make them more efficient and effective, and you're going to get a share of the profits. Well, they're going to do the same thing, but they're going to go to the public and they're going to sell these shares to people like you and me. And they're the ones that are going to make the money, right? They're always using somebody else's money, which is not a bad thing, except for you have to be aware of the fact that that's what they're doing. You're always making these things happen, whether they're good for you or not good for you. So I did want to get into a little bit more. I do want to run a clip of Jerome Powell, who's our Fed chairman, who's basically telegraphing there's going to be more opportunity with failing banks. And he's going to be talking to Congress for right now at this moment. Thanks.
Are you being truthful with yourself and with your owners? And so we've been working with them. And so for some time we've been doing that. And, you know, this is a problem that we'll be working on for years more, I'm sure. There will be bank failures, but this is not the big banks. If you look at the very big banks, it's not a first order issue for any of the very large banks. It's more,
you know, he's pretty casual about it, right? Hey, okay, he's a senior guy, right? He's a senior executive. But the fact that he just says it right off the cuff, like, yes, there will be failed banks. You know, we've been talking to them. We've been talking to them for quite some time now. They're in charge of the banks. Why are these banks failing? You know, what's wrong with this system that the banks that they're overseeing? And then he's fine with the fact that, hey, these aren't the big banks, right? So they're not the ones that are going to be in trouble. But who has their money in those banks? It's you and me. We have our money in these regional banks, these small banks. Who are these banks that are going to fail? And he seems to be fine with the fact that that's going to happen. And in my opinion, that's because they are trying to consolidate. They are trying to find ways. If they were really trying to save these banks that are underwater like Silicon Valley Bank was, then maybe they'd lower rates again, right? And of course, I don't have anything today, but yesterday he came out and he said he was going to hold rates, the overnight fund rate between banks. If he wanted to make affect maybe the bond market, that then would help the banks that own all these treasuries, and which is what the bond market is here in the U.S., then he would lower the rate, and maybe we'd end up with lower, you know, bond rates, and these banks wouldn't be in as much trouble. But you got to wonder, why is he holding? Because he's thinking that he's affecting inflation, that he's going to get it down to this 2% mark that he's been seeking. It's really questionable what he's really up to, but I do not subscribe to the idea that these people don't know what they're doing. There's many pundits out there, many people that I listen to, and I hear them say that. that they just are not doing the right thing. Who knows what they're thinking? They don't seem to really understand things. And I don't believe that for a second. I feel like everything they do is very planned and scripted. And so I would say that they know, right? Like you just saw that these are going to fail. That's why they set up this shelf charter that is ready and waiting to just swoop in and save the day, right? And say, hey, we've got this money and we're going to put it out there to the public and they can invest in these banks. What are they doing? I mean, who wants to buy a failing bank? And what is in there? Who's making it fail? Is there good assets there, right? So that's what I question quite a bit myself. So I did want to, you know, transition a little bit and look at the market. It's not just these failed banks, because what happens when you say you're going to hold rates like Powell said yesterday, but he says that he's probably going to cut rates three times in 2024. Doesn't say when that's going to happen, but when he did that in December, he said he was going to cut rates, and people predicted it probably would happen around this month, March 2024, which it hasn't. But what you got was an extreme rally in the stock market. It's exactly what happened yesterday, is we got another extreme rally in the stock market, which is totally overheated. It is run and fueled mostly by anywhere from 5 to 10 companies in the S&P 500, which is also part of the NASDAQ. Some of those companies are still part of the NASDAQ or the technology stocks. And the fact is, when you've got such concentration in just a few companies, and the rest of the companies, 490 say, maybe 495, are not doing as well, that they're losing value and they are losing revenue and so forth. But if he says things like, we're going to potentially cut the rates, that's good, so to speak, for the market. It thinks, you know, and that's good for you in a sense, psychologically, because you think on, hey, my retirement's doing well, but it's all on paper. You don't have any of those profits. First, you don't have all of them because they're going to tax them if it's in a 401k IRA. And the fact that no matter what it is, whether it's qualified or unqualified money, it is potentially going to be exposed, right, to whatever happens to the market, right? And you don't actually have that wealth until you take it off the table, right? Just like being at the blackjack table in Vegas or in Atlantic City, if it even still exists. But the fact is if you don't actually cash in your chips, then, you know, if you keep playing, you could lose all your chips, right? So that's enough about that for now. But I'm going to have this clip run by a gentleman, Michael Gayad, and he's on Daniela Carboni's show. And he talks a little bit about what's going on in the market and the risk situation that we're in.
The worst environment is actually the environment that we're in now. Because what's the implication of a world where it's only about the S&P 500? Everybody just goes into that one proxy, which means everybody just has the same exposure to the same 10 stocks, to the same idiosyncratic risk, which is really right. Risky if you're going to be somebody that's entering retirement and it's like, well, you know, I got to go into that because everything else is sucking wind. So, you know, my biggest, if I'm going to give advice to anybody, my biggest piece of advice is don't let FOMO take over your life. These cycles change. There's no gurus, only cycles. These cycles change. This happens to be a really nasty cycle because the worst environment in the world is one which is pure risk on, pure large caps, because anything you do outside of that doesn't work, and it results in over-concentration in a portfolio independent of risk tolerance. And at some point, that turns badly.
So the idea of this risk on, risk off, right? So when you have such a concentration, as Michael's mentioning here, is that the only way you can find the real opportunities, the new opportunities, to go to the risk-off situations, right? So people have to move some of their money out of there to go into a place where, you know, things are not valued as much as they probably truly should be. So there is a shift that's going on. even when the market is going up, the smart money, the strong hands, the people have all the real influence. They're the ones that know how to move the stock price up and get out at the same time. And they're already positioning themselves, including central banks, right? They're buying gold. They're buying it all over the world, right? They're transitioning into other things while they're keeping the charade going that everything is really good. And so when the number of the S&P keeps going up, the NASDAQ, the Dow Jones number, index number goes up, people believe that things are okay, even if they're a little uneasy in their own lives, right? So that is really something that I just want people to think about, that you're investing in these things, and do you really feel like you have any control over what is actually happening here? So I do want to go to break, and we're going to talk a little bit about the Liberty Dollar here, and then we'll come back, and I'm going to talk a little bit more about these banks.
Have you heard about Liberty Dollar Financial Association? Liberty Dollar is a private membership association that allows its members to purchase silver in different forms, which are lawful for use as mediums of exchange. Liberty Dollar Financial Association is a private alternative currency that is provided to members in both digital and paper warehouse receipts. They also sell physical Liberty coins for your personal possession, or they'll securely store your precious metals for you. They provide members with various services that allow them to use their silver's value as a means of exchange, such as their bill pay service, where they will pay your bills out of your silver account, similar to your current banker. Additionally, they offer a term deposit investment account where currently they are paying out in silver a guaranteed 1% per month, which can be compounded over a one-year term. Liberty Dollar just celebrated 25 years as a silver bullion dealer, storage facility, and exchange. To learn more about Liberty Dollar Financial Association or to become a free member, visit ldrep.nl/BOYR. That's Liberty Dollar Financial Association.
Thank you. So I want to go into a little clip here that talks about the banks are in limbo. Now, CNBC typically doesn't talk about these things, right? But of course, there was a consulting firm that did a study, and they talked about, you know, hey, some of these banks are in trouble. So everybody now, if it's going to show up on the mainstream media, they're just basically trying to say, hey, we told you so, right? Because this stuff is coming. We know it's coming. I mean, Powell said it. We know about this shelf charter with porticos. We know that CNBC is now talking about it. Somebody hired this firm to do this study. And, you know, I went and looked up that company that did the study that CNBC is talking about here. And I can tell you that these are not uneducated people. I'm not saying they know everything, right? But they are people typically that people look up to, because they all went to the Ivy League schools. They all went to Harvard, right? They all went to Stanford. They went to Oxford. These are the people that run these consulting firms that are connected to the government and to the banking system. So if you wanted to, you could drill into, I'm going to have links in the show notes for all these stories. But for CNBC to be coming out now and talking about the trouble that these banks are possibly in, right? You know, the highlight of the story is the forces that consume three regional banks last March, which we've talked about, right, have left hundreds of smaller banks wounded. And they're saying that there's the merger activity of merging banks has come to, you know, a bit of a trickle at this point. But they're gearing up. They're gearing up to be ready to take them, because I can say Porticos is probably not the only shelf charter. I know that they came up with this concept in 2010 after the crash, the great financial crisis. So there's probably more, and I just haven't drilled into it at this point, right? So I want to go back to a little clip here. with a YouTube channel called Vocational Science of Freedom. This guy does some really, really good work about what's going on with laws and legal system and so forth. And he did a review on the book, The Great Taking. And he gets into, this has been going on for a very long time. So please just listen in.
So everything's going to come back to the banks anyway. This is their final push to take all of the collateral. Everything that's ever been pledged. That's their goal. Make no mistake about it. But to continue. Some take comfort in saying that the Fed will lower rates again when they are forced to do so. Have you noticed that they are not lowering rates despite the first bank failures? This is just the beginning of such failures given the basic math explained above. The Fed is sharply increasing rates into economic weakness and a banking crisis. This is exactly what was done in the Great Depression. Make no mistake about that. There's plenty of history here. This is what they do every single time. Build it up, crash it, steal what they can. Build it up again, crash it, steal what they can. And how do they build it up every time? They build it up through instruments that are pure fiction. They're not based on any actual value.
So, what the reason I wanted to show that was because this is not new. This is not a conspiracy. This is something of history. We can research it. And it has been happening for a very long time. It is the same playbook. It is, they take a long time to run their play, to run their script, right? It's, again, it's not people that don't know what they're doing. They know what they're doing. We don't know what they're doing. We don't understand it because we don't get together and unite like they have united. They have been united for thousands of years. These are families. These are powers that have been doing this. It's just that they've made us think different things. And then we, when we do unite and get together and talk maybe at any level about this kind of stuff, we actually don't know what we're talking about. We're just repeating what we've heard from them and their powers through the media. So I'm going to keep this pretty brief, and I do want to, in my opinion, wrap things up a bit. I think this is not a time for speculating. If you've made some money, then you should take some money off the table, whether it be within your qualified plans and move it into your money market. You probably have a money market that's available through your 401ks and certainly an IRA. You could do that. I always did when I had a 401k. And you can take some of it and preserve it, right? Protect it. It doesn't all have to be at risk all the time. This is a time to take those profits and lower your risk. And they're going to continue to debase the currency, your dollars, right? So you might want to roll it into things like gold and silver. Liberty Dollar to me is a great place to put it because it is truly what we have historically looked at as money, which is we start with real money, right, with an asset, and then we have the warehouse receipts that we can exchange with each other. That is why I'm so hot on that. I am going to write a book in the coming weeks here. And it is really going to be combining the infinite banking concept, which is the whole life insurance that I market, and this idea of the Liberty Dollar and how you can stack your silver and probably, you know, double it, quadruple it over, you know, 5 to 6 year period. So please stay tuned for that. Please like, share the show, promote it. I'd like to get the word out about different things that I've been privy to and sharing it with more and more people. And please comment. Love to have some engagement that way too. And thanks for those who have. All right. And hope you have a great day, and I'll see you next week. Thanks. Take care. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Banking on Your Retirement podcast. Be sure to follow us on Facebook and YouTube at Banking on Your Retirement. And don't forget to rate and review us on your favorite podcast platform. Thanks again for listening. The information expressed on this podcast is for informational purposes only. You should not construe any such information as legal, tax, investment, financial, or other advice. Personal due diligence is the listener or viewer's sole responsibility.
The views and opinions expressed by the hosts, guests, or callers of this program do not necessarily reflect the opinions of the Studio 21, Podcast Cafe, the United Podcast Network, its partners or affiliates.